Now, the second thing that Peter tells us that's related to the future is the future will impact your present. Look at verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. That's the first thing Peter tells us, is to be prayerful. The idea is that we are to be alert, be serious and watchful, because the end is coming, and that should impact the way we pray. Now, how will knowing that the end is coming impact the way you pray? Well, it should make you pray more fervently for your unsaved friends. It should mean that you'll pray more often for God's glory. It should mean that you will pray more frequently for yourself, that you will live the right way. Knowing that the future is coming should change the way you pray today. The second thing that Peter says is that we need to live in love. Look at verse 8. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. The phrase above all things puts it in a priority. It means before everything else, we are to live in love in the church. Our lives are to be characterized by love. He says it is to be a fervent love, an intense love. Now, the way that Peter phrases this command in verse 8 is that we are to love each other because we love the body. We love the church. We love what Christ has put together. And when we love the body of Christ and we love the church, we will automatically love each other as individuals. The rationale is that love will cover a multitude of sins. He's not saying that we should cover up sin. He is saying that we should love each other so much as members of the church that we are willing to overlook it when someone does not shake hands with us that morning. We are willing to overlook it when someone does not speak to us that morning. Listen, there isn't a Sunday go by that I don't walk past one of you without speaking to you. You might be engaged with someone else at that moment in time. You might be taking a drink of coffee at that moment in time or eating your cookie at that moment in time. And I know if I say hi to you, you're going to have a mouthful of cookie and you're going to be embarrassed. I am sure that probably every person in this room has at some time said, the pastor didn't speak to me this morning. I can say the same thing about you. Charlie didn't speak to me this morning. Actually, he did. I just saw him sitting over there. Listen, love will cover a multitude of sins. That last cookie just got me. Excuse me. When we love each other fervently, we give each other the benefit of the doubt. Oh, Bob didn't speak to me this morning. There are no Bobs in here, right? Okay. Bob didn't speak to me this morning. He must have something on his mind. He must have been preoccupied. He must have been upset. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. It's not because he hates me. It's not because he wanted to snub me. It's not because he was being rude to me. It must be something else. I know he's a good guy. Love will cover a multitude of sins. And we need to be willing to overlook the perceived sins against us. We won't be so concerned with holding each other accountable for their sins. Don't we love to do that? We need to make them accountable. We need to hold that person accountable. We're so buzzed up with holding people accountable that we forget to love them. We need to be more concerned with loving people than keeping them accountable. Love is the defining characteristic of the Christian. Loving each other. The third thing that Peter tells us is minister with your gift. Look at verse 9. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. Now, Peter is talking about what we call spiritual gifts. And his main point is that we are to serve each other with our spiritual gifts. God did not give us spiritual gifts so that we could benefit personally. He gave us spiritual gifts so the church can benefit. God is the giver of the gift. We are the receivers of the gift. Everyone else is the beneficiary of the gift. Now, the issue that so many Christians struggle with when we talk about spiritual gifts is, what is my spiritual gift? I don't know what it is. How can I figure this out? Well, there are surveys you can take, and there are seminars on spiritual gifts that you can go to, and there are questionnaires online that you can fill out, and they can all be helpful. But can I give you a shortcut to identifying your spiritual gift? And you can leave here today knowing your spiritual gift. Are you ready for this? Okay. You go to three people that you respect as Christians, and you ask them what your spiritual gift is, and they will tell you. And unless I miss my guess, all three will say the same thing. At least two of the three will say the same thing. You see, other people know what your spiritual gift is. And we struggle with it. I got to figure out my spiritual gift. Just go ask three people. Three people, you say, that's a godly person. That's they're an example. They're a leader. Can you tell me what my spiritual gift is? If I was to name someone in this congregation today and say, everyone tell that person what their spiritual gift is, almost everybody would say one or two of the same things. If you don't believe me, just try it. Just go to people. Now, please don't all come to me, okay? Pick out somebody else. You go to three people that you respect and you ask them, what is my spiritual gift? And they will tell you. Now, can I give you a word of caution if people come to you? There are not an unlimited number of spiritual gifts. They've all been given to us in four places in the Bible. Are you ready? 1 Corinthians 12, Romans chapter 12, 1 Peter 4, Ephesians 4. Two fours, two twelves. Okay? 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12. 1 Peter 4, that's what we're looking at, Ephesians 4. The longest are in the 12s. Romans and 1 Corinthians are the longest list. They're not all identical. Some spiritual gifts are listed in all four places. Some are only listed in a couple of places. If someone comes to you and says, what's my spiritual gift? And you say, your spiritual gift is a gift of music. Wrong. There is no spiritual gift of music. Is not listed in any of those four passages. Now, I'll tell you what is listed. Encouragement. Music can be encouraging. Okay. Teaching. Music can teach. There are a number of other things that music can, but music is not a spiritual gift. So don't tell someone their spiritual gift is music. If you don't know what to tell them, you say to them, listen, let me go home, read those four passages, and I'll get in touch with you. Okay? There is the gift of hospitality. He mentions it right here in this text. By a show of hands, do we have any people in this church that you would say has the gift of hospitality? Do you know somebody in the church that has a gift of hospitality? I'll bet you if I asked the people who raised their hands, they'd name one or two of the same people. So look it up. Figure out what the spiritual gifts are. God gave us all the spiritual gifts He wants. One of the problems in the study of spiritual gifts is everybody wants to keep enlarging the list. That's really adding to Scripture. Okay? We don't want to do that. We don't want to enlarge the list. We should not add to what God has given us. So if someone comes to you and asks you what their spiritual gift is, you read those four passages, you pick one of those out, and you share it with them. God has designed the church to minister to each other through the gifts that He has given us. Minister with your gift. The next thing that Peter tells us is the goal is to bring glory to God. At the end of verse 11, Peter gives us the goal of all this that we've been talking about. That in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. The goal of living is to bring glory to God. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do in life, you do it all to the glory of God. That's why you were created. That's why you were saved. That's why you are part of the body of Christ. Now, as we sum this all up, why should we do all of these things? Why should we, be prayerful? Why should we live in love? Why should we minister with our gift? Why should we bring glory to God? And the answer is because of the future, because the end of all things is coming. And that means the future should impact your present. The future life of the Christian is so very important. And we've seen two great truths this morning. Live today in anticipation of the future, and the future will impact your present. Life is not just about now. It's really, for the Christian, about the future. And so as you face the challenges of life, I want to encourage you, just simply rest in the future, knowing that in the future, those things that are challenging you in this life will be over. You won't have to deal with them anymore. They will be behind you. And knowing that if you will live in anticipation of the future and allow the future to impact how you live today, those challenges of life will be much easier to deal with. Peter is writing to people, and we listed this way back at the beginning of our study, all the challenges they were going through. And I think we had 7 different challenges that they were facing. People slandering them and people physically harming them. And there were others. And Peter is writing them to tell them, hey, look, this is how you live life in light of the challenges. Some of you are going through challenges this morning. Some of you are going through health challenges. Christian has to have surgery tomorrow. That's a challenge. Some of you are facing challenges in dealing with people that you've had run-ins with or that you've had problems with in your life. That's a challenge. There's a right way and a wrong way to deal with all of these challenges. And Peter, writing because God has told him what to write, so we know God also desires this. God wants us to know how to live life in a challenging situation. And I hope the things that we've looked at today, 4 things under each of these 2 main topics, will help you live your life today facing the challenges so you can live as a Christian. Father, that is our prayer today, that we would live in anticipation of the future and live knowing that the future should impact our lives today. Father, help us to live like Jesus, not like the world lives, but to live like the one who set the example for us, the one who suffered in ways that we will never suffer, and yet did it in a godly way. Our prayer today is that you will help us as we go through challenges in life to do it your way, the right way. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.